Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is the first day of February 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We could talk about what happened in the markets today, and we probably should, but let's talk about January as a month, as a whole, and what the charts look like to you at this time.
Well, I think last week's trade, chart-wise, was bad enough that this week was a must-win for the guy who was a fundamental bull or the gal who was a chart technician that was bullish, that last week's trade put us on some pretty big moving averages that we needed to hold in some of the commodity index charts. This week we came back around and brought some support back into the technicals, and so I think last week's trade and this week's trade really summed up and gave the market pretty much the whole picture for January, that you've got enough support now technically and you've got enough fundamentals and uncertainty fundamentally that you can go on higher as long as you hold these major levels that we tested a week ago today.
How quickly things do turn. What are the fundamentals in favor of a higher move and in which commodities?
Well, I think the first and foremost would be Kansas City wheat, but that was the leader to the downside. And I think this is the major rub, Todd, when it comes to the supply weather side versus the demand side. And I think this is where, after the midday models came in a little bit wetter, for the Kansas City area, for the wheat belt in that region, with the corn and beans no longer pulling the wheat up like they had earlier this week, you saw the return, and I talked to some colleagues about an hour ago, and they saw this from their vantage point as well. You saw the return of the fund-led, technically-led, demand-led negativity return at the end of the week, showing most prominently in wheat. So after wheat comes corn, and not beans, in my view anyway, because if you're talking about Argentina and you're talking about bad weather there continuing, you're really talking about clipping the corn crop more so than the beans, especially when it comes to where our biggest competitors lie in the export market. And so I think I would put wheat as number one as the weather bull, corn number two as the weather bull, and beans number three. And I think Informa's numbers, even though I don't, you know, take them at face value very often, the Brazilian bean estimate they raised versus their previous estimate by 2.6 million tons. They're at 84 million tons right now. I think this goes back in line with what we were just talking about. If you're talking about Argentina bullishness, you probably have Brazilian bearishness in supply compensating for the Argentine weather, at least right now.
You know, this is something we heard earlier in the week, that it was likely that the rainfall and the good crop in Brazil would be offsetting, at least for soybeans, offsetting to the poorer crop that would be coming out of Argentina. But there's a big difference in the size of those two crops, too. Brazil, I think, dwarfs Argentina, but I don't recall the numbers quite exactly.
Yeah, you're talking about 80 versus 20 or 85 versus 25. You're exactly right. It's not hard for Brazil to come in and make up what Argentina loses when it comes to beans. That's where the corn differentiation is, because Brazil just doesn't have the competitive level as much as Argentina does when it comes to us. And when I was at the top producer seminar of this week, you know, everybody I spoke with about the bean markets and the weather in South America, everybody I spoke with said, I don't think that the Brazilian crop is going down necessarily, and I think it's, and I'm paraphrasing what they say, I think it's going to be at least 80 million tons. It's just being delayed because of these northern Brazil rains, and they weren't too charged up or fired up about their dryness in Rio Grande do Sul in the southern parts of Brazil. And so if I take that at face value, it goes back to how I answer your previous question about where's the supply weather bowl first and foremost.
Oh, you had to bring up top producer, didn't you?
No.
I'm just kidding you. Hey, so I don't care. I mean, I do care. I don't care that you brought it up. I do care.
Like me talking about West Lafayette last week, Todd.
Hey, so what was the assessment in general when you listened to all the folks, and there were a lot of them on stage up there? What was the assessment of the crew from top producer about current marketplaces? And I mean, in general, not top producer, but all of those analysts that were there.
Yeah, I didn't get to see very many of them because I had some side meetings going on. I had some side conferences going on as well. But what I did hear from Iowa State and from Brent Gloy at Purdue, what little I heard there, I think most of what everybody's chiming in and agreeing with is that your private crop insurance is going to be so important to how you handle your marketing in 2013 and going forward. But the uncertainty of the farm bill puts 2013 with extra importance and extra seriousness of how you handle your marketing side and integrating that with your private or personal crop insurance with your agency. And I think that was a very common theme in everything I heard.
And that's because in 2014, they're unsure as to what the crop insurance will look like. And also that, and I'm going to make a bet here, that most of them were saying if you were going to use crop insurance this year, as Gary Schnitke has said, plant corn, or it's more likely that farmers will plant corn because crop insurance and the rest of the, and even without crop insurance at this point, the marketplace is telling producers plant corn. But they may have to give up income in 2014 should they do that.
Yeah, and I think the other, exactly right, and I think only to complement you, what you just said is the shallow loss provision it sounds like it's going to be the common theme in the next farm bill with crop insurance. It's really going to be your private crop insurance that protects you in the deep loss scenarios. But if you're talking about what the government can do for you in protecting you on the farm, it's going to be more shallow losses, about, you know, $60, $40, $50 an acre to get you by with the shallow loss of a mediocre yield or a somewhat lower than average price. But, you know, nothing compared to history, the government won't be there to provide such a deep, deep safety net. And I think that takes some getting used to. That takes some number crunching. And I thought the Iowa State and others who did their marketing side presented a really nice format to trying to understand that and get your hands around that.
Now, on this program, we don't usually, at least at this time of year, look at new crop and then 2014 or the next new crop beyond that.
Yeah.
But that's what most are saying. And I think it still is coming to the decision as to what you're putting in the ground this year. What are you talking to with your clients, if at all, about this issue?
This is huge, and I'm glad you brought it up because it is. I've never been a multi-year seller. I've never felt comfortable enough because of the risk on the table and the super cycle analysis that has been done before me and that I continue to do on my own as far as the commodity bull market. I am in a position at this point that if the gross domestic product and the aggregate demand, the U.S. economy can't perform the first half of this year, and we start to see the dollar work against us and go higher, and we start to see bond yields and interest rates start to work against us and go higher, I'm really putting on the table 2014 sales before 2013 harvest, because this is where the cycle analysis would suggest maybe after 2013 you did take the commodity super cycle to its peak, and you're going to be going down 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 years and finish out the cycle. So I have to keep it on the table after what I've looked at in the analytical side. But it's all dependent upon growth here in the United States, because that's going to derive where we go with China in terms of growth. And that first and foremost comes to fruition if the dollar goes up and interest rates go up, because those have been the drivers of our stock market and helped propel our commodity trade these last couple, 3 years since the financial crisis. After that, you better get some real growth if those start turning against you.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.